Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan Hayes, and welcome to NC Wrestling Radio. It is March 23rd, 7 o'clock. I'm going to have Heath Gleaton from Central Cabarrus High School and Drew Turner and Marcus Cross from Parkland High School. I always start every show by just letting you know what's going on. Got a big tournament Saturday, East Coast Classic, going to be at Morehead High School. You can win a belt just like Super 32. You know, if you want to win a belt, go do it. And let's see where that takes you. I mean, it's just a belt, whatever. But, you know, the main thing is you get to wrestle, get better. That's the whole point. If you want to be a state champion, wrestle in these tournaments. I'm going to start off with Heath Gleaton. Heath, man, thanks for joining us today, man.
No problem.
Well, I will start off by just kind of asking you, and I ask everybody's question, what got you into wrestling? You know, we're in a North Carolina kind of ACC basketball type state. How'd you start?
Well, I mean, it was just seventh grade, and I didn't have anything to do. And some friends of mine were talking about trying out for the middle school wrestling team. So I thought I'd try it, and I ended up really liking it. And I just kept going from there.
That's good. Well, I see that you didn't qualify for the state tournament last season, and you went on to actually win states this past year. What did you do to in preparation for that? I mean, you got upset by not qualifying. What did you do in preparation to prepare you as much as possible for this tournament, state tournament?
Definitely last year was a huge upset for me. I was so close to making it. And it pushed me to the point where I figured that I had to just work so much harder, because I realized that it's not just something that you can just put a little bit of effort into. And it was a grind all year. I went to camps all over the place, and I practiced with the hardest kids that I could find. Anybody, like any of the camps that I went to, I picked out the toughest kid. Even if I got beat, I mean, it didn't matter. It was just all about finding the competition and pushing myself. I always thought, well, what is my opponent doing? How can I do better to push myself to do better than he is? And that was the drive for me to do what I did this year.
Well, dude, man, you pinned your way to the finals. And, you know, that had to have helped you out doing all that. Because you just don't go into our state tournament and pin through the finals. I mean, our state tournament is very, very competitive. You know, you said the same thing there, of course, in your paper. You said my goal was just pushing the pace, and you say you like to be aggressive, and you went out there and you beat him 11-4, a major decision that you think that it was going to be kind of, I don't want to say that easy, but forget it. Did you think it was going to be that easy?
I definitely didn't think it was going to be easy. I mean, I knew he was going to be gunning for me. He's a senior. It's his last year. Of course, he wants to win, too. It was pretty close the first two periods. Then in the third period, I just decided I was just going to push harder and harder and harder. And I figured eventually that I could get him out of his comfort zone and I could just break his will, I guess, and just start scoring points.
Well, you actually went, I believe it was 5-2 in a Super 32, which is the toughest preseason tournament around, the toughest tournament around, period. One of the toughest, of course, around high school wise. And you went 5-2. Was that surprising to you?
Well, it definitely was a surprise compared to the past 2 years, because the past 2 years I've just been 2-out. So I went out there with a different mindset this year. I figured if I could win one match, I could win another. That I had to keep doing the same thing that I was doing all this season, just keep pushing the pace and pushing kids, because a lot of kids haven't been working that hard. And, I mean, that's what it takes. You just have to put everything into it.
I think I called you last week to set this thing up, and you said you are working out. You worked out to about 8:30. Where do you go do your off-season workouts? Do you do some at the school? Do you go to you know, a club per se, like your like a Charlotte Pitbull or a Ricky, and what do you, where do you go work out?
I wrestle at Vance High School with Casey Boyle. He's a four-time state champion from Massachusetts.
Gotcha, and he it's safe to assume that he's helped you out a lot for this season, correct?
Oh yeah, and he's got a lot of kids that come around from the area that are really tough kids that just come out and we all just go at it.
A good wrestler like you, I want you to explain to wrestlers who have just started or who have been wrestling for a long time or kids that are thinking about wrestling, what is, or explain to them the importance of having a good practice partner.
I mean, having a good practice partner is everything. That's one of my biggest problems that I've ever had was I haven't always had the best partner that's just going to be there for me every day at practice and that's really good, really fast, really strong, whatever it is. I just haven't had that person. And it's really difficult to find that person. So if you have that person, take advantage of it because it's going to make you better. Even if it's that one kid in the room that beats the crap out of you every day, I mean, he's going to make you better.
Yeah, that's great. And it's, it, like you said, it's always good to have that the person in the practice room that everybody else likes to stay away from, that's the person you want. Yeah, because that's the one that's going to make you better. And you, of course, it's also good because you actually was the first state champion for Central Cabarrus High School since 2005, and you know you broke that streak. And it's always good. I mean, I'm familiar with Central Cabarrus in a sense. They've in the past have put good wrestlers out there on the mat. Now, do you have? I guess you have those, correct?
Yeah.
What do you do to try to help him out and kind of guide him and, you know, and so he could go in a positive direction with this?
I always try to keep him motivated, even though sometimes he has tough kids that are a little bit better than him that beat him. I always try to help him on his technique and just keep pushing him towards the right way to do things. Sometimes it's difficult with little kids. I mean, they don't always want to follow directions sometimes, but I mean, you just got to keep at it, and that's what he has to do, and that's what I push him towards.
And this is a question, you know, I like to ask a lot of, you know, wrestlers. You do this all the time. The season's over with. You're still wrestling. You're wrestling every weekend, and it's every time you turn around, you're always doing something wrestling related. What do you do off the mat to keep you from getting burnt out? What is some things that you do? Do you like to fish? Do you hunt? You know, explain to us what you do off the mat that, you know, that you kind of can go and just think about things.
Being with my family and being with my dad, me and my dad restore old cars and stuff, do different stuff.
That's cool. What do you, I think you're going into your senior season, correct?
Yep.
Do you have any plans to wrestle at the next level? Do you have any kind of colleges that you're interested in or any colleges that are interested in you?
I'm hoping to get a lot more lately. I mean, I'm really looking to wrestle in college. I really want to wrestle at a D1 school. I mean, it's always been a goal for me. And after winning a state championship, I hope that I do get more offers. And even after nationals, I hope I get even more. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what I get.
What big, like, national-level tournaments are you planning on participating in? And like I said, it seems like every major wrestling sanctioning body has, like, some sort of national tournament. Are you going to do your Fargo? Are you going to do AAU Nationals, and what particular tournaments are you going to go to that you think would probably get you better looks from D1 schools depending upon your placement at these tournaments?
I'm really definitely going to Junior Nationals spring break. That's definitely one that I'm going to. And then probably Super 32 again later on. And probably some more, just seeing where they go.
And that's when you know you're a dedicated wrestler, when you are willing to use your spring break to go to a wrestling tournament. Well, Heath, man, that's all I got for you, man. Thanks for joining us. You know, I hope people that are out there watching get something out of what you said as far as, trying to keep making progress. I mean, you know, it's one thing to make it and, you know, maybe go 0-2 when you're there for the first time, you know, the environment changes and you're out there and you're getting the jitters and, you know, but you went from not qualifying to like winning it the next season. So congratulations on your state championship, man. And, hope you have a good night, man. Be safe.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, guys, that was Heath Gleaton from Central Cabarrus High School. I guess now I'm going to start with Marcus Cross. Marcus, you still with me?
How you doing?
Hey, man. Of course, I'm doing all right, man. Just trying to get these get you guys out there and expose you guys a little bit more, man. I guess it's great to have you and Drew both together because some of these questions you guys can both answer being a fact that you guys are on the same program. I want to start out by asking you, man, I know you and Drew both well, so you're coming from like a tough, like both of you guys come from like tough kind of wrestling backgrounds where both of you guys on the team have a dad that's an assistant wrestling coach at Parkland. What actually got you out there and wanting to wrestle, Marcus? I mean, I know Kendall, you know, got you out there, but was it something that you want to do or was it something that kind of you were pushed to do, like Kendall said, why don't you try it?
Actually, at first, I really didn't want to wrestle, but him telling me to keep going and don't stop what you've already started and stuff like that, those kind of words just kept me wanting to wrestle and finish what I started, basically.
That's good. And so you're out there as a freshman at Parkland, and you kind of JV kid, didn't really get to see much, you know, varsity time, and you go through an off season, and you know, basically, long story short, we end up to where we are. Your sophomore year, you qualify for the state tournament, and you went 0-2. You know, how does that make you feel? What were you wanting to do? I mean, of course, everybody has a goal on being a state champion, you know, when they make it in a state tournament. But what was your realistic goal that season? Was that you want to probably win a match and just say, hey, you know, I made it, I qualified and won a match, or, you know, just placing? I mean, what was your goal your sophomore year?
Yeah, that season, coming from the previous year not placing, I think my goal was to just basically place. And that mentality kind of after I qualified, that mentality kind of made me lose and not really care, which is I think why I went 0-2 in the state tournament.
And I know it was kind of devastating for you. It's tough. You know, you're a part of a program that's in the news, that everybody knows about, that's always earned a spotlight, and it's tough to have a head coach that you have that I know can, you know, sometimes may come across being a little bit overbearing, but, you know, at the end of the day, he's just out there for your best interest. And, you know, he's always said he's not going to let you be sorry, you know, because oftentimes in life, of course, when you're dealing with kids, is that everybody's always allowing the kid to be sorry. And then Atwood's on the other hand saying, I'm not going to let you be sorry. And,
right.
you know, don't, you know, I'm not going to let you feel sorry for yourself. You're not going to get any sympathy from me. So you went on after that, after the state tournament, and you went to what I know and have witnessed is probably one of the toughest off-season wrestling programs and toughest off-season wrestling schedules. And you did all these tournaments, and then it gets all the way up to now, and you qualify for the state tournament, and you go out there and you play second. What was your motivation in the whole state tournament?
Really, my whole motivation was to not repeat that last year of my sophomore year of going 0-2. I just had to redeem myself, basically. That's all I wanted to do. So nobody could ever say anything again to me about going 0-2 in the state tournament.
Right. Now, and you went out there and you wrestled, and I think it was probably a couple seconds in, and you got hit with a slide by, man. What was your thinking then? Now you're on bottom having to work out.
When I got hit with that slide by, I was like, I just knew that I still had a chance. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking I still had a chance. And I knew if I went back standing that he'd probably do it again. And the second time he hit me with the flyby, I had a strategy, but it didn't end up working out the way that I thought it was going to.
Well, once again, you're part of a good team, good program, and you're on that level, you know, and a lot of what people have to understand is that, you know, it's all in what you put in it. And just because, you know, you do all this stuff in the off season to help you out doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be a state champion. You still have to work hard for it. And sometimes, and you could give it your best and you still fall short. I mean, you fell short. So I guess you're going to use this as your motivation to finish up, next season on the top, correct?
Right.
As far as being a state champion next year, you're going to use the fact that you're a runner up as motivation to win it all next year.
Yeah, I probably have the same thought process as before, that I'm going to redeem myself. I'm taking second, so I'll place first, hopefully.
Now, everybody, in the emails that I get, because I get emails of people having questions and wanting to know, how tough is it to wrestle under a coach like Maurice Atwood? I want you to explain to everybody that's listening and everybody that's going to go back and play this whole interview, how tough is it wrestling for Maurice Atwood?
Man, that man is really hard to wrestle for, even though you know in the back of your mind that he's coaching you for you to do the right things and for you to come out right as a man, it's really hard to satisfy him. He always wants you to do so much better. But it's a good thing, because if he wasn't that tough on you, I don't think we'd be what we are, a state champion team. And he's the most persistent man I know.
And then Your dad, Kendall, wrestled for Parkland. I think he graduated 2006. He's like 2016. I think fell short of, you know, making it to the state dual finals. How was he like? You know, we know what it's like him. You know, you and him on a mat, as far as him having to have that coach, you know, to wrestler relationship. You know, off the mat, like away from everybody else, how is he to you as, and, you know, trying to, you know, keep you grounded, keep you motivated, you know, how does he help you out?
He's always my coach, whether it's wrestling or school or about anything. He's always the one telling me what I should and shouldn't do and giving me advice on how to pursue life.
Now, what are you wanting to do after your senior season? Or have you got any colleges that you want to, you know, want to go to and wrestle, or do you even want to wrestle at the next level? What are your plans like now?
Before my sophomore year, my freshman and sophomore year, I really did want to wrestle in college, but I think I'm starting to not love the sport as much as I did, and I don't think I'm going to wrestle in college, but I do want to go to college.
Well, I hope you want to do that. Do you have any particular colleges in mind that you?
I'm wanting to be a Coast Guard.
Okay.
And I think I want to go to the University of Coast Guard Academy. I'm sorry.
And that's good. We always need young people like you trying to help to better our country. Now, I guess I'm gonna get Drew, and then, you know, both of you guys, you know, I want you guys to have a little bit of time to talk. But we got Drew Turner. Drew, you still here, buddy?
What's up?
Hey, well, you know, your wrestler started, I think, what is it, at the age of six?
Second grade.
Now, do you remember how you were really approach with this whole like wrestling venture? I know your dad wrestled at Parkland. You know, I was at the very, very first tournament you ever wrestled in. What, you know, how did this all start for you?
I mean, the first sport I started doing was I played baseball. I didn't really like baseball, and then I started wrestling. And I played other sports while I was wrestling, but my dad kind of always, like, pushed me back towards wrestling. I've done basically all the sports. I've played soccer, football, baseball. The only thing I haven't played is basketball, but I don't really care for basketball. So, I mean, basically my dad kind of always, like, pushed me towards wrestling, and so I became better at it than all other sports.
Right. I just want to say I've seen you play pickup basketball. Don't play basketball. I know that's a cheap shot, but I just kind of had to slide that in there. But, you know, on a serious note, you know, your wrestling history and for Scythe County, you know, stretches 10 years. And it seems like, you know, everybody's seen you growing up, and everybody in Forsyth County, even though within the county itself, all these teams rival each other. When you're on that state level, I've never seen such a county get behind you as a wrestler. It's almost like not only do you wrestle for Parkland, but you wrestle for everybody in that county. It seems, you know, it's like every school, you know, accepts you as their own, even though the points are being scored for Parkland. You got the head coach at West Forsyth that cheers hard for you. The head coach and assistant coach at Glenn High School that cheers hard for you. How does that make you feel?
Oh, I mean, it definitely feels great knowing that there's other coaches out there that really like me and like that are good friends with me and that I'm close to.
Right. Now, you know, you had high expectations and a lot of hype behind you just coming into high school, and a lot of pressure to win the state championship as a freshman. And so you go out there, and I think, you know, what started for you, and to me what started for you is you went out there, and we were you're in a state duel, what a state said, I want to say state duel semifinals against Lake Norman, and the match started out with you, and you know, because they got to, for people that don't know much about the sport, all weights, you know, are predetermined by a draw, and not only did they, I think it was two state dual meets in a row, I think you got drawn first. Is that kind of how it went? Your weight class got drawn first?
Yeah.
No, and, I don't think I started my freshman year. We might have, but I really can't remember.
But it was something to
but
that
I know
effect.
We did my sophomore year.
Right. It was something to that effect to where you had to wrestle Cody Carnes of Lake Norman, and from what I could gather and from what I've heard you know from your dad is that you guys had always met up at these tournaments prior to high school, and he always beat you. And then you had to actually, in a tough dual meet against Lake Norman, you had to actually perform to actually put the team in a better chance of being able to advance to the state dual championship. Now, you beat him then, and I think that's kind of what, you know, got the ball rolling into the state tournament. And when you won it as a freshman, I think you were wrestling Mitchell Goldbach of Wake Forest Roseville as a freshman, and you beat him. How did that make you feel? Like, what, you know, how did that make you feel?
Oh, it was an amazing feeling, because my dad always promised me a lot of stuff if I won a state championship, and so did my family. And I knew it would help our team out in points wise. So I just didn't want to make it to the finals and not win. That was my goal. I didn't want to have everybody watching me and then me lose.
Now you get where you're going to your sophomore season, and everybody now is basically saying you could be a four-timer, which the hardest thing in and of itself is to win. We all know is to win a state championship, but it gets harder and harder because there are more people gunning for you. You get there, and now the pressure's on for you to win it again as a sophomore. And you go out there, and you actually had a tough sophomore season in a sense where you actually lost more individual matches than you did as a freshman. And then you had these, you know, these naysayers saying, hey, you know, he's not going to win it again. And once again, you came through. What was your motivation going into your sophomore season?
I mean, I went in my freshman year. When I went in my freshman year, I was like, well, I was a freshman, why can't I win in my sophomore year? So I definitely had like a downfall because I had 5 losses, but one of them was I had a medical default out of the WRL, so that gave me that was like my third loss.
Right. That was that sophomore season. I know I witnessed that tough King of the Mat tournament that you had where you've always not been a selfish guy. You go up and you don't mind going up in weight because it helps your team a lot better, and it always gives somebody a chance to wrestle, and that's, you know, and I commend you for that, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of other people do as well. So we're in it. You go through one of those course tough Parkland off seasons going into your junior year, and you're wrestling, and it transforms. You know, to this, we're here now to this very day where you won it the last 2 years in a row, and you did not win it this year. And you know, of course, you probably knew I was going to get into this because, you know, people want to know, you know, coming from you, you go out there as expected, state tournaments, you win the first round, which everybody knows you're gonna, you know, win the first round, and you get in the semifinals, and you got Irvin Enriquez from Southern Pines Pinecrest. And it was just a tough match. And of course you went up again to allow your teammate, Dakota Jenkins, to kind of jump in the lineup, and you know, he, you know, made the best out of the situation, you know, by placing third. You go out there, and I really want you to explain the match from you, where everybody's hearing you talk right now and not a quote that you put in the paper, about the whole issue with, you know, you losing, the whole issue with your dad, Michael Turner. Explain to us exactly what went down.
Oh, I mean, I knew it was going to be a tough match regardless, but I didn't really find out that my dad was really hurt till I about got on the mat. And then everybody's like, your dad's with the paramedics. I was like, and then I went out there and wrestled. So I was like, what could have happened? But I tried to block it out. But like when I got tired, it kind of, I looked up, when I'm walking back to the center, I always look up in the stands, and my dad wasn't there and he wasn't in my corner. So, I mean, it was definitely a different feeling, but overall it was a tough match and I just didn't win.
Well,
nothing I can say.
Right. And, you know, and like I said, you've never allowed that to be an excuse, but it didn't help the matter when the last 10 years of your life, you've always had that man in your corner, and it really does throw a curveball at you when he's not there. And it's not to say that, you know, Atwood or Kendall couldn't do the same thing that your dad can do, but it's just that it's there are certain things that you're used to, especially when you're in a combat sport.
I'm kind of obligated to my father.
Of course you are. Of course you are. You guys, you know, I've witnessed the practices where you guys are, you know, it's like you guys love each other one day and then you guys are like just butting heads. And that's just that whole father-son, I guess, relationship, you know, that you have. And so you lose to, you know, Enriquez, I believe 5-4. And
yeah.
When did it hit you that you know, your chances of, you know, being a four-time state champion is not going to happen? When did it hit you? When you walked off the mat? I mean, when did it exactly hit you?
When the crowd went crazy.
Which leads me to this question from your, I want to hear it from you. You know, as hard as you've worked the last 10 years in this sport, and to be the best you can be, and you, who I know well, you're not a trash talker. You most of the time keep to yourself, and some of the only people that you talk to are really the other wrestlers on your team. How did it feel after you went out there and had a good match, win or lose, against Enriquez, for one section of the Coliseum to just boo you? How did that make you feel?
I mean, it didn't feel good at all, but, I mean, we're parked and we're kind of used to it. I mean, a lot of people can say they were cheering for him because he was the underdog. But, I mean, at least I know at least 80% of the people were cheering because I lost.
Right.
Everybody wants to see the person on top fall. So, I mean, it's whatever.
Right. I came down there. I saw you in a warm-up area after your match. You just, you know, you were devastated. And you made a quote in the Winston-Salem Journal. Mesa Linker quoted you, and you said basically that you're gonna be a headhunter next year. What are you gonna do? It seems like that you do everything possible that you can do to stay on that level. What is it that you're gonna do better? I mean, what is it that you can do? I mean, you know, here's a guy who won a state championship in your weight class that you beat the year prior, and not only did he win, but he went out there and daggone near, you know, tacked the guy that you, you know, lost by decision to. What are you willing to change it? You know, what you know, you're only changed your style of wrestling. You're going to be more aggressive. But what are you going to change to put you in a position to have a better chance to win and grind out these tough matches?
I'm going to do the same thing I did my other 2 years, but I'm going to do it twice as hard. Go to all the tournaments. Just do everything I did to win my last two. Times two.
Right. Now, what are some tournaments that you're planning on going to? Like, of course, like the same question I asked Heath. What tournaments are you going to go to that you know that you're looking to go to? That's going to put you on that level. You're going to do nationals. You're going to do. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to do Virginia Beach, Virginia Nationals, and I'm probably going to go to some camps, and I'm just going to work out at home. My dad.
Gotcha. Now, and you know, it's kind of been a sort of a hit or miss or back and forth question for you. Do you want to wrestle at the next level?
I do, and I don't. I've done it for so long, but I mean, I do. I am gonna do it.
Right, and you know what usually happens is that. I've known of wrestlers who've been in your situation that have been wrestling for a long time, and then they decide they don't want to wrestle. So when they figure that they don't want to wrestle, they spend the whole off season, you know, doing what you know, eating and doing what they do, and then they realize when they go off to a college that has a wrestling program, they realize that oh, now I missed it, or there is that one guy that is on the wrestling team who you might have pinned or tech that's actually starting. And then that's when they're like, oh, I want to wrestle in college now. This guy is actually competing, and I beat this guy. So I guess it's safe to say that you probably don't want to end up in that position. So I guess you want to try. You don't, you know, because you don't want to ever end, you know, your wrestling career saying, you know, what if I did? So I guess you're just willing to try it, correct? You're willing to try to go and wrestle at the next level.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I just want, if it don't work out, I mean, I'm doing it because I want to say that I did it and I didn't do it and not like it.
I got you. Well, for people that really don't know you, I'll ask you, what are some things, because you wrestle, like, just like Heath and Marcus, you know, it's a tough off-season that you go through with Parkland and Maurice Atwood. What are things you do, like, off the mat? I mean, what do you like to do?
I like to hang out with friends, ride four-wheelers, just basically spend time with my family.
Because, you know, you can't, you know, you will get burnt out if you just keep doing it, you know, don't do anything for yourself. And are you gonna wrestle this weekend at Battle of the, is it East Coast Plastic, Battle of the Belts? Upside Down is all the same stuff. You wrestling that tournament?
Yeah, I think I am.
Right. Well, and then there's a tournament, I guess, the New York tournament that you guys go to every year. You looking forward to that one?
Yeah, that was a really tough tournament last year. I had some pretty hard matches.
I got you. And I want you to also speak how as far as Maurice Atwood as a coach, how has he been as far as, you know, helping you get to where you're at? What's it like, in your words, wrestling in what is the toughest, you know, wrestling program in the country? I mean, there's 7 straight dual meets. I think it's more than 309 straight dual meets that you guys won, 7 straight state dual championships. You know, how is it like wrestling for somebody who just keeps that grind of wanting you to be successful? I mean, explain to me Coach Atwood in your words.
He's a good guy. I mean, he will get on your nerves from all the yelling and everything in practice, but But then again, you got to think about everything he's doing. It may be hard, but it's going to pay off in the end, and it's the right thing to do. And it's not for nothing. It's going to benefit you.
Right. More often than none, I hear people, if it's not on the wrestling forums or newspapers or, you know, at a school, you know, they're always, you know, bashing them about something for some reason or another. What does he do that other coaches aren't doing? You know, I've been around enough to know that, you know, he's always wanting to help, you know, kids, and he's always constantly, you know, coming out of his pocket to make sure, you know, the kids who can't, you know, get anything from the concession stand during the tournament, he buys the food, from, you know, the restaurants that we stop at, you know, on the way back from tournaments. You know, explain to people, you know, what even though he has that hard mentality, explain to people what kind of heart he has.
He definitely has a big heart. I mean, if you don't have money and you legitimately do not have money, he will pay for you. It don't, like, if we say we go anywhere out to eat and you don't have money, he will pay for you. He'll pay for you to wrestle. He'll basically do anything for you.
Yeah,
he'll follow you to some of the kids in the team that don't have money because it's just them and their mom. They don't have a dad, and he's basically their father figure. If he pushes them to do better, everything in life, in the sport of wrestling.
Gotcha. And for as much of a bad rep as Parkland High School as a whole gets, it's a proven testament that Parkland, they do have good kids. And, you know, people can say what you want about Parkland as a whole or the wrestling program as a whole. You can't be on that level and be the successful team that you're on with not having a certain level of discipline and wanting to do right, you know, in a classroom. And, you know, it's a coach like Maurice to actually bring that out of wrestlers who, you know, the teachers say, hey, this guy's not going to amount to nothing. He's this, he's that. And then they come out there and wrestle, and the next thing you know, they make a complete turnaround. But anyways, I'm gonna end the radio show. And I appreciate talking to you guys. Marcus, you still there? I guess Marcus is kind of hung up, but whatever. But Drew, man, I appreciate you being with us. Nice talking to you, and I'll see you around, man.
All right, man. See you later.
Yeah. All right, guys. That was Drew Turner, Marcus Cross, Heath Gleaton. They joined us tonight on the NC Wrestling Radio. This is our third episode of this, and like I said weeks prior, I do this for you. I'm no pro radio host, as you can tell, but there's a way to kind of, that's the way to, for these wrestlers to kind of speak what's on them and say what's on their heart. This is what this is for, and that's strictly what it's going to be. This show will never be used to, you know, badmouth any certain person or any, you know, anything like that. So, but I do want wrestlers in North Carolina to have a voice and, you know, so you can know what's going on. Thanks for joining us on NC Wrestling Radio. Our next episode is going to be next Thursday, 8:00. I would like to keep the same time slot every week, but, you know, like everybody else, I have to work, so I'm stuck having to rotate times, but we're going to get everything started next Thursday. If you guys got any ideas of someone that, you know, I can interview, you know, by all means, shoot me an email. Also, go like the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/NCWrestlingRadio. Once again, thanks for being with us, and have a good night, and we'll see you soon.